All right, let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day once again on this fourth Sunday of Advent. What a joyous time of year as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the incarnate Word of God. Bless us now as we study your Word, small w, your love letter to a Scripture, and just the fascinating and important topic of the church. Bless our time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, everybody has a handout, and these are going to hang on to them, please. I know it's been cold, and we need to start our fires, but let's not kill too many trees. But if we need more, we'll print some more. But the overall outline is going to last us into next year. A couple of the topics we're going to deal with this week and a couple weeks from now in the church, you should already have. So, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. When we say the Lord's Prayer, not the Lord's Prayer, when we say the Apostles' Creed, you know, I believe in God the Father Almighty. We get down to, we believe in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Catholic Church. And I've dealt with that an awful lot, that word Catholic just means universal. And so it's small c Catholic. Now there is a Roman Catholic Church. That's the denomination. Some of us have backgrounds in the Roman Catholic Church. That's a denomination, we'll call it. Catholic small c just means universal in the sense of, well, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Talking about Jesus, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. So talking about Christ, he is the head of the body. We've been going through 1 Corinthians. That body metaphor is a very good way to describe why we need each other as a body. And Paul writing to the church at Corinth, that was a helpful corrective for what the divisions and schisms they had. But Christ is the head of the body, the church. And so last week we looked at, on your outline, all those first verses, and you're maybe wondering, why are we just looking at all these? But how the word church is used in Scripture. And so the point was, context, anytime we interpret something, history, studying health topics or anything, you need to know what the context is to help us understand how that word is being used, because words can have different meanings in different contexts. In English, foreigners learning English, one of the problems they have is we have all these, I think they're called homonyms, where they sound the same, but they're spelled differently. That would drive me crazy if I was from another country, as opposed to, for us, one of the things learning German, for example, you have to learn the definite article. Nouns are masculine, neuter, feminine. Same thing with Greek in particular, too, which lends a precision when we're studying, in this case, the New Testament Greek. But also, it just understanding which word is being used. So, we looked at the church, and one of the verses then we looked at was the idea in Ephesians chapter 1, the body of Christ, the church universal. Now, that word is loaded with, sometimes people, there's negative connotations, or Catholic. Well, we don't like that word Catholic in a Protestant church, but the idea of all believers of all time are part of the universal church. That universal church then happens to meet at local branch offices of Community Fellowship of Christians or Woodland Bible Chapel or Lake George Bible Church or First Baptist Church downtown. Local churches are local gatherings of believers. Now, not all denominations require this. My denomination, because I am ordained by the Evangelical Free Church of America and also by the Southern Baptists. So Southern Baptists and the Evangelical Free Churches, one of the requirements to join a local church ought to be that you're a member of the universal church, which means you're a Christian. You shouldn't be joining. Local churches should not allow non-Christians to believe. I mean, just pragmatically, because, okay, you get a bunch of Satan worshipers and they decide they're going to take over the church. Guess what? You're in trouble. And you let them in. It's your fault. So that is one of the prerequisites of and community fellowship of Christians. We are non-denominational, but in our membership to join this church, one of the requirements, really the only requirement, is we like you. No, that is a requirement. I don't know how Tammy got in. But a credible, believable profession of faith. And guess who gets to do that? The Inquisition Board. But we want Christians because this is a church family. Now, anybody's welcome to attend. Obviously, we want unbelievers coming, but to be a member where we're voting, you know, budget and things like that, well, part of our mission and purpose statement is that we do everything for God's glory here, including our mission statement, which unbelievers ultimately aren't going to understand that. So the universal church meets in local bodies of believer, and that's what Colossians there, chapter 1, verse 18, is talking about Christ as the head of the church. Now, we probably won't get to it this week, but when we get to church leadership, which will be appropriate for next year because at our annual meeting we vote on church leadership, including the pastor, which is something we ought to be doing. You better hold the bum accountable. And all church leaders, I would argue biblically, ought to, as best we can, fit, conform to the qualifications in Scripture. Scripture is to be our final authority. And so we'll get into that, but a couple other things I thought, we'd summarized a lot of it. When was this? This was... I can't remember when whole sermon series called Convictions and Consequences. Don't embarrass me by, what? We don't remember. I want everybody to say, oh, I remember all of those. But I actually went through using the Evangelical Free Church of America, EV Free, Statement of Faith, as a template, as an outline, use that to discuss major topics. And a lot of them, not quite this, this is pretty detailed here, but all these different topics that in the Evangelical Free Church, 10-point doctrinal statement was something that is important to think about. And this is what our denomination, now whatever denomination you come from, you may or not be aware that there's a statement of faith with a lot of history behind it. And one of my things, you probably know me well enough, I get a little annoyed at people that don't know what they're supposed to believe. Well, I'm a Baptist. Oh, really? Well, tell me about your statement of faith. Well, I don't know. I just know that there's a guy named John the Baptist. You know, we ought to, this is the way I'm wired and the way I teach and stuff, that we ought to understand what it is we believe, because this is pretty important. Now, understanding other areas of knowledge in our lives. Well, I would hope if you're a doctor, you understand medicine, things like that. But as Christians, we ought to understand theology, the study of God. So one of the things in each of these statement of faiths, convictions and consequences, and I think it's still online. Linda and Lauren do a good job keeping the website. You can go back and find all these old series and things. But on the church, and I started off with our church name. I love it. So Joanna's been around forever. Community Fellowship of Christians. You unpack each of those words. What a great name, especially for a non-denominational church, you know, in our community, Lake George. So I love that name. Back this, it's a little older now, but surveys by Christian Lifeway is one of those big Christian, did a survey on people's understanding of theology. and divided it up. But evangelicals, those who believe, say they believe in biblical authority and that Jesus is the Savior, the question was, worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement for regularly attending church. Do you agree strongly, or disagree? 46% agreed that's a valid replacement for meeting together in a local body. So the importance of the local church. Hebrews chapter 10, you can read there, there's scriptural reasons why this is a family meeting. We should gather. It's actually commanded that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We need this family time. And then when we go our separate ways, we're evangelizing, all that type of stuff. But we need to meet together. But in our culture, especially in American culture, where we're so independent and autonomous, nobody's going to tell me what to do, including God, unfortunately, or God didn't mean that in his scripture. Let me tell you what you meant to say, God. That's one of the problems with our individualistic society in America. So we meet together. So one thing, this local gathering, I'm going to assume we're all believers in here because that's one of the prerequisites. But membership, why we do things the way we do, there are human elements there that aren't perfect, and there's latitude in certain areas. We'll get more into that as we go. But the idea of believers meeting together for worship, and we'll get into this too. What should churches be doing? Well, studying God's word. There'll be a test on that one. Worshiping, some music, the different forms of music, different aspects. We'll get into that. The marks of a true church later on, but. Let me. I'm going to read the Ephre. I'm not trying to. I'm going to mesmerize you all into becoming Ephre. No, let me just read this, and tell me if you disagree with any of it. But we believe the statement of faith, Article 7, on ecclesiology, the church. We believe that the true church comprises all who have been justified by God's grace through faith alone in Christ alone. They are united by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ, of which He, Christ, is the head. The true church is manifest, made apparent, in local churches whose membership should be composed only of believers. I mean, so far, CFC, that's our requirements here. The Lord Jesus mandated two ordinances. We'll get into that later. Sacraments, ordinances, what's the difference? Baptism and the Lord's Supper, which visibly and tangibly express the gospel. Though they are not the means of salvation, that's a big one, and some of us come from different denominations that have a little different view on that. Baptism and the Lord's Supper, they don't save you. But when celebrated by the church in genuine faith, these ordinances confirm and nourish the believer. They're important. They're mandated. But they're not, you don't get saved by doing these things. We'll talk more about that. And so a couple of the topics that came up in that are, what is the true church? Talked about the Catholic earlier. When we see that word in the New Testament, looked at what it means to be called out, the assembly, the gathering of believers, but also sometimes you'll see the word tied to the Lord, so the Lord's body, so it belongs to the Lord. That's appropriate. This is the church, a local church. This isn't my church. It's not even your church. It's not the board's church. It's not the denominations, if we were part of a denomination. It's the Lord's church. And so under Christ, and this is evangelical free, it's a denomination. I don't like that. Oh, we're an association. We're not a denomination. But under Christ, each local church is autonomous. Under Christ. Now, we group together for accountability, interdependence, and we do that. One of the dangers of being a standalone, independent church as we could do whatever we want. Well, no, we should be doing what Christ wants. And so I love Bill Jones, the pastor next door. That's an autonomous church. He and I hold each other accountable in some. Randy McKinley and I used to be good friends, and on the golf course, I had to hold him accountable for his temper when he got mad. No, and he would hold me accountable elsewhere. But we work together, but it's under Christ's headship. And the members, the way the membership was described here was all those who are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I mean, that's Reformation terminology, but the idea of we have been declared righteous by God because of what Christ has done, and we have put our trust in Christ. It's not what we do, how much money we give, whether we've been baptized. All that stuff's important, but that's not what makes you a Christian. And so only believers should be members of, I'll make it more personal, CFC. So when people join, that's one of the major questions. Those of you that remember the trauma, and are you getting through? Is your therapist helping you get through the trauma of the abuse of what the pastor grilled you? But wasn't that some of the questions? I'll look at Tammy. You know, my main thing was profession of faith. You know, and I'll usually ask what's your church background, because that'll help me understand a little bit about maybe where we may have a little difference, or I might ask you what Bible translation you prefer. Just that gives me a flavor for this. But believers, and Ephraim used to have all believers, but believers only. And that's some of the history of the Ephraim coming out of the state churches in the Scandinavian countries. And so then Christ is the head of the church. We've already looked at that several times. And the baptism, then, a role of the Holy Spirit. We just happen to have gone through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit, or in one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink in the one Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the unity of the Holy Spirit, all of us as believers indwelt by the Holy Spirit. When you become a believer, when you become a Christian, it is God the Holy Spirit that is the baptism that counts, we might say. And the big term, regeneration, we are made alive spiritually in Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's the baptism that is most important. Now, when we talk about water baptism in different denominations and different modes and methods, there's some beautiful pictures of what goes on in all of those. You know, and I have my preference, and I'll share that with you, but I can make a case for a lot of these, what is being pictured by the element water about what really matters, new creatures in Christ. That'll come up the sermon later, actually. So, the Holy Spirit, and then we've looked at in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? How are those gifts to be used? To build up the body, not to, hey, pay attention to me. Look at what I can do, and miraculous. Usually it's the miraculous type things. No, these are for the church body. Okay, and I had just a sermon a while back. Man, where'd the sermon come from? This is pretty good. But when it comes to that recognizing universal church, local body, whose glory, we ought to be concerned about the kingdom, God's kingdom, Christ's glory, not the church, not the pastor competition. How many of you have run into it? I've run into this, and actually maybe you remember back in the day, and Giles, if he were here, but pastors, the competition. And it's usually, and you go to these meetings, and we love, oh man, we love to go to conferences and stuff. And, you know, and so George, you know, George is a pastor. So George, how big is your church? That's usually the first thing they want to know. So almost like counting coup, you know. In fact, Randy McKinley, I love this. And Randy, go ahead. And in the Baptist circle, it's in the name, how many baptisms have you had? in the Southern, yep, in the Southern Baptist Church. That's yep. And Sunday school attendance is another one. How big Sunday school attendance in Baptist circles? Randy McKinley, I love this. Whenever he'd get asked us, and Randy was always trying to get me, he loved conferences, and he was always trying to get me to go to all these, the Moody Bible, and they'd be fun, sure, but they cost money. And I just, but when he'd get asked that question, he'd say, about 5,000. Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's what's important. And then he'd say, yeah, because over the course of a year, 52 Sundays, times about 100 people a Sunday, that's about 5,200 people. You know, you can make statistics say anything you want. But that was what was important. So it's not competition. It's God's glory. And when we are seeking God's glory, that was last week's message. Are we, by enjoying God for other, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God by enjoying him forever. When we please God and what pleases God, we're most successful. And that's one of the things, you know, I'll brag on you people a little, that, and actually we'll pull Julie later. Are these people nice? Usually you folks make it so easy because friendly, that's what a church family ought to be about. People seeing the love, hopefully of the Savior, in the warmth of our fellowship. You know, we're just beggars telling other beggars where to find bread and come be warmed by the warmth of our fire. But that's true. We are a community fellowship of Christians. So we are pointing people, hopefully, to the Savior because he's the head of the church. And so when it comes to my church, that we'll get into this, the board, we have a board of directors, we have a pastor, but they're not in charge. It's not my church. It's not the board's church. It's Christ is the head. And so together, as we are a congregational, ultimately, form of government where we vote on important, really important things. Hopefully, we are voting for Christ's glory, not our own wants. I mean, if we could teach this in elections, political elections, are you voting for what's best for the country or are you voting for what's best for you? So, I've some sermons on this. The church is the bride of Christ. Don't mess with Christ's bride. And I've shared some illustrations, you know, my wife. Don't mess with my wife. I'm the only one that gets to mess with my wife. You mess with my wife, you're going to deal with me. And that's biblical. I mean, you know, and so whole biblical about the roles of husbands and wives, but think of Christ's bride. And so if you're bad-talking the church or gossip or things like that, watch out. Of course, we're not perfect, but be very careful because it's Christ's bride. As all the warts we have, this is Christ's local body of the universal church. So, you know, that's a very healthy corrective, I think. So, okay, and then the local churches, we'll get into this a little more in a couple weeks, but Article 2, Section 1 of our CFC Constitution, let's all say it together now. The purpose of this organization will be to conduct church services and do all things allied thereto. I think, do we have a lawyer on the... Was Gene a lawyer? Okay. Allied thereto in support of the cause of Jesus Christ. I love that. And maybe that's one of the reasons I was, you people were fools enough to vote for me and make me pastor. But that's the kind of stuff that as a pastor coming in, hopefully they are recognizing, does this church keep the main thing the main thing? And I, words like that, it's in the Constitution. That's what we're going to do. Well, I don't like it. Well, then change the Constitution or leave. So the cause of Jesus Christ. So Christ is the head of the government. So when touched on the business meetings, decisions, how are we making them? Membership requirements. talked about that, because one of the questions, those of you that have joined recently, probably one of the questions I've asked, why do you want to join the church? Because sometimes, and you know me, I'm really not ornery, but you people think I am. No. But I'll take both sides of the arguments just to be an obnoxious. So somebody that wants to join, they'll visit one Sunday, let's say, and then they want to join the Sunday the next week, and I'll say, you can't. You can't. You need to stick around and make sure that this is where God wants you, not that you just think, you know, the people are wonderful or the music or whatever it is. You need to be where God wants you. But then on the other hand, there are people that have been attending for, you know, Sue? Uh-huh. How long did you attend? And yeah, and the lady in front of her too, Trudy, you know. You hearing the excuses? You know, but folks, membership's important, you know, but don't be sinners like that. No. But it is one, yeah. But if you're, good riddance, there's a great church next door. But that is one of those, if you found a place where God wants you, and it's a biblical church, see that, you answer to God for that. Obviously the church answers for their part in it, and pastors answer for how pastors take care of God's sheep. If you're part of that, then why wouldn't you join? Because in today's world, church membership and budgets, you know, a little different than New Testament. Oh, we just want to be a New Testament church. Well, we have to have some guidelines, and the government wants us to be whatever, 503C or whatever, all that. But voting, we want believers voting the will of the Holy Spirit. We can come to a better decision as a corporate group rather than if you gave me a funny hat and a staff where I become the dictator and just start, and there are a lot of church governments like that, and that can cause a lot of problems. Now, if it's just Wild West, we vote on everything, where you have a bunch of immature people that maybe aren't Christians getting to vote themselves money out of the offering plate, that's dangerous too. And so what does a balanced biblical government look like? Well, stay tuned. We'll get into that in January. But membership requirements, it is important, but it's not your ticket to heaven. That's another reason I'll ask people, you know, why do you want to join the church? Well, I just think I need to have my name on a church roll some. Why? Well, then you can't join. Because if you think your salvation is tied up in being the member of a local church, I don't want to give that impression. There are a lot of people who think they're going to heaven because they're a member of a church somewhere. They haven't been to church in 10 years, but their names, and I actually, Trudy can probably answer this, every now and then, you know, we have people that move away, pass away. Every now and then, I'll get a burr in my saddle, and I think, you know what? Some of these folks, they shouldn't be members anymore because they don't live here. They ought to be members where they are. You ought to be supporting a local church wherever you live. But they want their name on the membership here. Why? And so Pastor Dieter writes a nice letters, and I try to do it the way taking the positive side, where I'll say, we are removing your name from membership unless you feel you need to stay on, and you can call Pastor Dieter and convince him why. Because why aren't you a member there? Why are you keeping your name on a membership? And Trudy probably can answer this. People can get very angry about that. Why? See, I would submit they don't understand. They think having their name on a church membership somehow is benefiting them spiritually, in a sense where, well, why aren't you getting fed spiritually wherever you've moved to? Or, you know, one of the unique things we do, we have summer, the winter chickens, the folks that are up here during the summer, you know, and so we allow folks to have dual membership because Steger, which his surgery went pretty good, I guess. Yeah. You know, and so he ought to be supporting and members of their Baptist church down in Sun City. But then there are members here as well. I don't have a problem with that because, you know, it's just, once again, it's a name on a roll, but it's not a ticket to heaven. So if any of you people are members and it's just to go to heaven, please come see me after class and we are removing you from the membership roll. And you can sue me. You know, I'll sue you. Oh, see, now you're showing you're not a believer. You shouldn't have been a member anyway. Okay, so here's the verse. Hebrews 10, verse 25. The writer to Hebrews is talking about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another, encouraging. Folks, it's a family meeting, and I'm an introvert, but I love getting together with people on Sunday morning. Now, Sunday afternoon, I don't want to talk to you. No. But I'm an introvert. It's encouraging to me to see how much we like each other here, which is good. And the commonality, you know, personalities, that's great. As long as the commonality in the main thing is Christ and keeping him central. And so we laugh together. I have no problem with that. Please, if you don't think we're being serious enough in church, come grab me by the ear and lecture me. And then I'll lecture you about, but then during the message, did you get the depth of the message or, you know, or whatever we're, the God's word, how we were serious about that. So we emphasizing, having fun, but emphasizing the main thing about what church is about. More on that, you know, next time or two about what are the marks of a true church. And stop me, any comments, questions, disagreements. The ordinances mentioned, which I personally hold to, we'll get into this more. Ordinances, baptism, we'll talk about that in a future time, and the Lord's Supper. What is it with the Lord's Supper that we are doing? There are different views from different denominations. All of them have some good pictures, but biblically, you know, if nothing else, I'll say biblically, this is the area I lean towards just because I can make a better case biblically than church tradition or something like that. Big thing with the ordinances, I've already mentioned, they are not a means of salvation. One of the words, how many of you grew up in a church where they were called sacraments? Yeah, which is a great word. But sacrament, if you look into the Latin root of that, there's an element of those convey grace. Here's a good Latin term for you. Ex opera operato, by the work performed. So you go to take Mass in a Roman Catholic church. The elements at the proper time of the prayer, transubstantiation becomes the body of Jesus and blood of Jesus Christ. And so when you take Mass, it is actually performing its work with the bad-tasting wafer. In some churches, they won't let you take the cup. I mean, there's history to that, why sometimes you get the cup and the wafer. Sometimes you only get one element. But that actually conveys grace. So that's why Roman Catholics may not go to church ever during the year, but on one side, Christmas, Easter, Easter's, they'll go to confession. Usually you have to have gone to confession to be able to take Mass, communion, and that some people have the false understanding. There's a depth and richness to Roman Catholic theology that's good, but a lot of folks, lay folks, don't know what they're even teaching. All they know is, if I don't get the wafer once a year, I might go to hell. That's sad, and that's dangerous when it comes to focusing your faith, basically, on what you do. Now, it's beautiful, you know, the picture of what's going on there, important. But if you bring your salvation down to Did you get baptized the right way by the right church? And did you take the wafer, you know, at least once? You won't die in mortal sin. Folks, I personally, as a pastor, I like that because there's a lot of control. The guilt, I can guilt you people into. And sometimes pastors, we like the control. So any comments or questions or Catholic backgrounds? Am I speaking the truth there? Did you raise your hand? Young lady? You did not raise your hand. And then this will come up, and it's definitely when this goes along with that. Confusing the sign of baptism, physical water, or the actual elements. Confusing the material signs with the reality of what's required by faith. Does that make sense? That goes along with it, where we do this because they were commanded by Christ. Those are ordinances. I like the term ordinance, but sacraments commanded by, now they don't save us, but we're supposed to do them. Well, Jesus tells us to do them. We ought to. And what do they picture? What is the reality they picture? That there's a lot of beauty there. 1 Corinthians 12, while we were going through 1 Corinthians, talking about Paul using the Lord's Supper, what should be bringing us together in the church at Corinth was causing division. You know, and some of you get here early because you're rich and you don't have to work today. And so you show up with your own sack lunch and your fine wine and everything, and you're just having a gluttonous meal and you're drunk by the time the poor laborers get there. That's not a picture of the body of Christ. And so he uses the Lord's Supper to show the unity of the body, and they are missing out on the reality of a biblical faith. Everything else flows from that. I don't care how much money you give. How many, you know, I like to, history, I'll maybe share the story more during baptism. But I've been baptized 3 times. I'll let you touch me later. But why that is, there's a humorous story there. But you know, I don't care how many times you've been baptized, how much money you give to the church, how many, you know, that we take communion 3 times a day. That's not the point. And obviously can lead to, we got to go through the motions again. So, let me read 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, I guess is what I meant. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. So that's what Paul was in 1 Corinthians, an unworthy manner. Not, I'm a sinner and I'm not worthy to. No, that's exactly why communion, Christ's sacrifice. Of course you're sinners. And that's what we're remembering, the grace and salvation that Christ has provided. But the unworthy manner there is judgmental attitude, you're mistreating the family. That's a serious charge, unworthy manner. If you've got a problem with somebody in the church and it's rising to the level of civil war, I would strongly call it. If I'm aware of it, hopefully I'd have the guts to say, Debbie, maybe you should sit this one out. But that would be pretty embarrassing. But Paul goes on to say, you don't discern that and you trample on the Lord's Supper with your petty divisions. There are consequences. Judgment, the word is. And sicknesses and deaths, Paul says. That's why some of you are dead, have died, because they have trampled on the importance of the Lord's Supper. And so it's serious, but it doesn't save you. See, there's a lot in our Christian lives that just that depth, but also hopefully not distracting us from Christ. Okay, well that's the any comments or questions on that? That was sort of a bonus. Sorry, you don't have these notes, but We're on your little list there. We're next time, next week, Sunday, we will not be meeting. If you want a Sunday morning Christmas Day service, Woodland Bible Chapel next door is having a service. Actually, I don't know if I have to talk to Bill about if they're having. Trudy, do you know, are they having a Bible study that morning? But anyway, we will not be meeting. New Year's Day, we will have a adult Bible study and a church service, and we'll get back into the 1 Timothy 3. So then qualifications for elders and deacons, church leadership is what we'll get into. So comments, questions? We're done a little early. Note that. Kelvin, you making a note? We're done early. Okay. So next week when you say, why you go so long? Do you remember last week, Kelvin? Anyone? Bueller? No? All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the church. Thank you that we can be your bride through the finished work and love of our bridegroom. May we do everything at Community Fellowship of Christians for your glory. The joyous worship, the laughing, crying together, the studying of the word, the singing, the praying, the giving, the everything for your glory. I thank you for this church family that we can serve together and hopefully reflect your light to a world that is in darkness, and especially during this Advent season, are looking for something more in their lives to give them purpose and a reason for living. Give us that opportunity, because we have a wonderful Emmanuel, God with us, Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you.